Noon, because I, one of my colleagues in Cambridge phoned me to make a contribution to a book on the kingdom of God. And I said, that has been written and rewritten and rewritten till the printing machines are tired. What do you want me to do? And he said, something original. And I said, if I do something original, it will maybe not help your book to be sold. Because in Western scholarship, this is my own understanding, biblical studies are done like a post-mortem examination.
Post-mortem examination.
You know, have you seen Dr. Quincy on the telly? Long time ago.
Quincy, the medical examiner, forensic pathologist.
When they take the liver and they cut, they do that to the scriptures, They employ a very harsh discipline, which has one good side of it. It tells you what is what. It's like, telling me, this is your brain, this is your jaw, this is your hand, this is your liver, this is your heart, this is your lungs. That's fine. But would you tell me how do they function? In other words, is the Bible an animal to be dissected, or I was going to say dead. Anyway, or is it a something like a living reality that we need to look at it differently? And then he knows me very well, and I was surprised that he actually phoned me. And then he said, George, don't be vague. Give me an example. I said, an example of the kingdom of God? Okay. Count. If you want to look at the kingdom of God where there are verses being used in the Gospels as the kingdom of God, then you deal with that. But what about the kingdom of God, which is mentioned in certain portions of the scriptures, but under another name? And he said, such as, I said, the fullness of God, which is your title here, the fullness of Christ, or the fullness of God. What about that? And he said, are they related? I said, my dear man, if Christ came to be among us as a king, do you think he is just having breakfast and lunch and supper and having a nice time with our ministers and watching us to see if we read the Bible every day and fast Wednesday and Friday like the Catholics, or make our confession to the priest? Or do you think that he is really as a king attending us, trying to initiate us into the kingdom through his life? Would you say that the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a sign of the kingdom? Oh, no. Oh, yes. What about baptism? And those who sneak quietly, they remind me of tigers and leopards. No, here. Because I haven't seen you for such a long time and I missed you.
Oh, thank you. I was out of town.
I don't need to know the reason, but I'm not your father-in-law, I'm not your mother-in-law, and I'm not your husband either, But I love you.
Thank you.
I'm your brother. I'm glad to see you. So, my dear friends, dissecting is very harmful because it doesn't allow us to see the link between the various parts of the work of God in Jesus Christ. You chop off something. I remember in the our first year in the Faculty of Medicine, which could be second year too, we're doing anatomy. We had some nasty teachers. They would bring some bones of animals and some bones of human beings. A little bit similar. I remember one of them brought a tibia. You know what I mean by a tibia? Of a donkey. And next to it, one for a human being. And you have to, we're supposed to say which is which. Do you know what sort of bone is that? It's a tibia. Human or animal? In order to know that you really, if you see a human tibia, then you will know what is it. Because you know the difference between a donkey and a human being. I mean, the leg especially. It's quite different. And those who failed to identify the human tibia lost. Failed. Next time they came, it was the, what do you call this? I forgot the names in medicine.
Phalanges.
Yeah, of a chimpanzee and a human being. Are very close, actually. And that is the desire of jogging the memory of someone who's supposed to know exactly the differences. And you know, the Bible is not like that. The Bible is almost like a living creature. And that's why the Isaiah and the prophets speak of the living word of God. It's alive. I want to jog your memory. What are the signs of the word of God as a living? What do you know about the living word of God? This is body language of self-defense. Don't come near me, don't ask me any questions. In what way the word of God is living? Do you know that text in Hebrews? The word of God is like what?
Double-edged sword.
See? Do you know another text in Isaiah which speaks that the word of God is like rain?
Rain?
Yes. But not an ordinary rain. When it rains, it takes something up with it presented to God. But do you know the power behind the word of God? What's the power behind the word of God? There's a very important text that's being mutilated in the English. I don't know. I'm glad the apostles never wrote anything in English.
I'm glad the apostles never wrote anything in English.
Absolutely. You know, in Timothy, you know, it says, all the scriptures is
God-breathed.
Oh, God-breathed. They restored that back to the English? Inspired, right?
Right.
But wait a minute. Without dissecting, what does it mean, breathed? No. What is the breath behind the word of God? The Holy Spirit, the breath of God. So when you read the word of God, you get the breath of God in you. And when you get the breath of God in you, you become alive to it. You become enlightened. You get the life of the Spirit in you. You see? That is why there is a link between things, that if you take the word breathed, I'm glad it came back to English. It's breathed by God, right? But if you take the word and the verb or the adjective of breath, you know, and forget about the breath of God in the Old Testament that gives human beings life and wisdom, then it is lost. Are you with me? There's, you know, I have been going through the dissecting, you know, I said to my friend, what about if I write, he wants me to write 25,000 words. I said, that's too much. What about if I write as much as I like, and then we can reduce the words later on, of dissecting the scriptures to destroy the kingdom of God? There was a moment of silence. And he said, what about dissecting the scriptures to misunderstand the... you know, and to misunderstand the scriptures? I said, no. It is to destroy the kingdom of God. And said, George, why destroying? I said, simply because, you know, you cut off. And by the time you have cut off things... I said, I remember in the early days in the high school, they got a rabbit. The poor thing was eating grass and mice and, you know. And then they dragged him, you know, gave him some chloroform. And nailed him with nails on a piece of wood, opened him up, cut him into pieces, and left him. Of course, the poor thing will never recover. It died, actually. But, you know, we were watching the heart beating, you know, and how it works. And, you know, we were so delighted. Okay, it's a delight. But do you know, it's the poor thing is dead. And one of our colleagues said, can I take it home to cook it? And I said, I think that will justify dissecting it. At least you killed it, you dissected in order to eat it. Which, you know, what is the purpose of dissecting? You know, if you open up someone and to get all the inside out and then close him back again, what did you open in the first place? In other words, you know, if you do a linguistic analysis of the Word of God and its historical meaning, its Jewish origin, oh my goodness, that call 45 minutes according to the, at the end of the system, you know, better send me a check for $2,000 for talking to me for 45 minutes. And he said, gladly, I will do. So if it comes, I may take some of you to dinner, you know. What can we get for $200 food? $200, not $2,000.
$200,
you know.
For all of us?
For all of you?
Yeah.
That will give you what? A glass of Coke?
And a dollar double burger or
something. A
slider. What I'm trying to say to you, my dear brothers and sisters, is when you read a verse in the scriptures, try to see the theme, if not the theme, the word being used, and follow this word in a concordance. Are you with me? Such as, and he has put all things under his feet. I'm taking it piece by piece. When you hear about the feet, everything under the feet of Jesus, right? Where does the feet appear in the Gospel of Matthew? Nope. No washing of feet in Matthew.
When the sinful woman washed Jesus' feet.
That's in Luke. story, Sylvia.
Give us a hint.
In the Sermon on the Mount. No? No, 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 no. Do you should not swear by heaven because the Son of God, nor by earth because it is his. His feet, where his feet is resting. Right? So if everything is under the feet of Jesus, now you see the trick. If God the Father put everything under the feet of Jesus, it simply means in biblical themes, Jesus is the King of the universe. And if you look at it from the book of Psalms, and from the parable also, it means also the victorious king. Because in the old days, all the enemies are brought back into parade and put under the feet of the victorious king. In the parable of Jesus, bring my enemies and slaughter them under my feet. Which is the common language of the time. This is what I'm saying to you. You read the word feet, go through the entire New Testament and see where does this word appear and what context. So if all things under his feet, then it becomes very clear that we are talking about Christ as a king without using the word king. You see? There is no word for king here in that verse. It appears in another context. So, and he made him the head, or gave him as head, over all things for the church. Please, try to visualize with me. Christ being the King of the universe, and he is at the same time the head of a body called the church. Are you with me? I have not lost you yet, have I? Okay. So what is the link between the one who has authority over the entire universe and the one who is specifically head of the church? Why is this so? Why? Because you see, if you really believe, now here are the warnings before you give me the common church jargon, which I don't like, and caused allergy to me. And that's why my gout has come back, by the way. It could be another class, yes. I agree with you, with your majesty, yes. You know, if Christ is the king of the universe and he's the head of the church, then he is really not having a divided kingdom. He's ruling in both in order to reconcile the two together. And obviously, he works in the church in a way and works in the universe in another way. The level of work in the church is not the same level of work in the universe. I want to hear from you. What are the basic differences between Christ ruling in the church as a head and Christ ruling in the universe as its victorious king? Do you know? Oh, if you have not heard that topic before, then I'll forgive you. It will be the mistake of your own Christian education. And you are forgiven.
Ruling in the church, compare Christ ruling in the church.
And Christ as the head of the church. Head of the church. And Christ as the king of the universe. Who's going to volunteer?
So your question is, what is the difference?
Yes, what's the difference? What's the difference? Give me one or two differences before we go into the handout, because the handout is a little bit concentrated. And after I drafted it, I said, I wonder if our brothers and sisters will have a taste of it. Just in case you go back and say, oh, I read this handout, it's really nonsense. It could be nonsense, easily. Yes, Jeff.
I'm thinking of redemption because it's still, you know, people in the cosmos are still choosing. And the, you know, for us, it's I don't want to say past history, but present history. It's going on now.
Mm-hmm. Can you expand? Because that's almost like a raw nerve.
Okay.
Can you?
Well, we have the redeemed have made a choice.
Yes.
The cosmos is still groaning and waiting.
Uh huh.
And so the choice is still out there.
Uh huh.
And still has not been made, that initial choice. And so as a result, for me, I think it has something to do with the role of the Holy Spirit. How much we allow him to work, or how much we're open to him to work.
Mm-hmm.
And what it should be in the kingdom is, or in the church, is it should be like breathing. It should be in and out very easily, and always, not always, it is, but I mean, it should be. And in the world, they're still here arguing and debating whether he exists.
You're so close. Are you going to say something? I saw your hand. Okay. How lovely. Please.
I was thinking the universe would be the spiritual context and the church, I see it here on earth still. And so, in my mind, I kind of know what I mean.
But, okay. You have the vision, but you like the words. Don't tell you what. Okay. Okay, okay, you want to say something?
Yeah.
Yes, please go ahead.
Is it the relationship of the church, so the believer is in the Godhead, and in the universe, there's not the relationship with Christ?
Very close.
Okay, let me add to that.
Very close. Very, you know why?
Because Christ came as a man.
Yes.
So he shares the human, but he didn't come as a tree or a plant or something to be.
Uh-huh.
He came to be a part of that.
No, I want to stick to that because he just opened the door. You know, let me ask you a question, very personal, a little bit. This beautiful lady of yours, Molly, is your wife. You have neighbors living next door to you. Mm-hmm. But your relationship with Molly is not the same as the relationship with the neighbors.
Oh, no.
We hope not.
Carmel's a friend like them, but not that friend.
All right. Okay. If you feel embarrassed, I can speak. Okay? Right. My wife is not here. She is in New York, actually, doing some training. I love this lady. She's not afraid of me. Are you afraid of me?
No.
Okay. I love this lady. Okay? Mm-hmm. But my love for May is of a different kind. Because I share my life fully with May. But I share part of my life with
Cynthia.
With Cynthia. Because there are boundaries. Right?
Right.
Christ shares his life fully with the church. That's why you're very close. But he doesn't share his life fully with the universe. He sustains the universe. Sustains the universe. Keep it alive. Move it towards its goal. Take care of it. But when it comes to the intimate sharing, that's why I kept Molly and the neighbors. This gave you a fright, huh?
It scared the neighbors more.
Oh, it should scare Molly also. You know, that there is a relationship, intimate relationship. When Jeff mentioned the Spirit, now the Spirit works in the church and in the universe also. But the work in the Spirit, the work of the Spirit in the church is to reveal Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Fully. You see? Fully. The work of the Spirit outside the church is to bring people to know Christ. Oh. Two different work by the same Spirit. And you know, you may have heard from me on various occasions. Some of you were here in this class. This man who came from Turkey.
Last year,
the one who was addicted to alcohol and went to Mecca to repent, but found more alcohol in Mecca. Oh yes, that's true. And then while he was in Mecca, sleeping not far from the whatever that place.